it's something like 20% of folks who start graduate school quit. And then we have the other stat of 50% of folks who start their doctoral programs never finish, right? And so there's clearly a need here. And so that really tied into where I'm at today and where I see, you know, that parallel and that influence for Dr. Emanuela Consulting.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for checking into the Grad Girl Wellness Podcast, a space designed to inspire and highlight the stories of women of color in graduate school who are prioritizing their overall health and wellness while pursuing higher education. My name is Angela, and I'm your host. Let's get started.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Grad Girl Wellness Podcast, a space designed to encourage women of color to prioritize their overall health and wellness while pursuing higher education. Today, we are joined by Dr. Emanuela Stanislaus, who will be talking to us about her grad school wellness journey, as well as her work in the consulting and entrepreneurship space. So, Emanuela, how are you doing today?
I am good. I'm in a reflective mood today. Today is my doctorversary.
Oh, perfect.
And I'm so excited to be talking to you today.
Awesome. This is great. I feel like, was it maybe like 6-7 months ago that we like talked about being on each other's podcast? And it's finally happening.
Yeah. You were on mine, writing on my mind, and now I'm on yours. And yeah, we were in Miami hanging out, supporting one another, girl fanning, and being amongst other Black PhD women. It was amazing.
Definitely. So shout out to Black Women PhDs for hosting their first, hopefully annual, wellness retreat and bringing folks together.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. So today, as I mentioned, I want to talk a little bit more with you about your experiences as a graduate student, as well as your post-grad life. So for folks who aren't familiar with you or your platform, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you studied in grad school, and what you're doing now in your postgraduate life?
Yeah. So a little bit about myself. I'm a daughter, a sister, a wife, in Aries. I love long walks on the beach and things of that nature. I'm a Black woman and a daughter of immigrants. Both of my parents are from Haiti, and that is an important part of my story and an important part of my dissertation topic as well, which we'll definitely discuss a little bit later. And because of that, that all really, you know, influence the way that I see the world and the questions that I ask and the experiences that I have. And, you know, a bunch of things kind of led me to where I am today, where I consider myself a multi-passionate professional. I've done a lot of things. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've started multiple businesses, and now I'm in what's probably my fourth or fifth business, which is Dr. Emanuela Consulting. And I do a number of things in that space where I am a coach. I coach graduate students, primarily focusing on women of color graduate students. I am a scholar. I write peer-reviewed articles and chapters, and even organizations identify and strategically implement anti-racist processes to help them recruit and retain diverse talent. And so that's just a little bit about me.
Awesome. So first, I didn't know you were in our doctoral journey. Like, I feel like I keep meeting different folks who represent different chapters of that book. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I know there's so many of us. I don't even know all the authors, to really be honest. But yeah, I think this month marks a year since the book has been out. So yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing. Okay. So I think there's a lot for us to dive into, but be it as though this is the Grad Girl Wellness Podcast, I always start off by asking folks to take us back to their grad school days and to talk a little bit about their experiences with wellness at that time in their life.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting question. And as I think back, I can honestly say that I didn't really have the best relationship with wellness in grad school. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they brought it to my attention that the coursework, especially in my doctoral program, which is the most recent grad school journey for me, with the coursework, I was good, but something happened once I completed my coursework, that's where things went like kind of awry. And part of it too is that I was working full time and then going through my program and on a part-time basis. But then I had this thing where I kind of fooled myself and said, I need a creative outlet. And so I had a travel blog. That was one of my companies that I have, where I was traveling and sharing my experience and really trying to encourage folks to travel. And I use travel too, which is one of the things I really talk about with my clients on my podcast, is like finding ways to celebrate your wins, right? Because grad school is so hard. And so I use travel to celebrate my wins. And I would have a trip at the end of every semester to kind of do that. And, you know, when I look back on it, I was doing the most. I was working, like I said, full time. I was driving an hour to work each way, 50 miles per day driving, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. So I did that, and anxiety and depression was one of the things that really came out to me, for me, especially after coursework. And so I would say that my wellness really focused on that. I was super hyper vigilant on getting the mental health care that I needed, and did that on a consistent basis, and that really helped. But I will say that my current way of viewing wellness now, which is more holistic, where I am talking about managing, like, what am I managing, right? And having like a realistic aspect to that, meditation, yoga, journaling, eating right. I used to have it where it was like in grad school, it was like, oh, twice a week working out was enough. And now I'm really working out like 5 times a week. And when I say workout, I'm going for walks, getting fresh air, and doing the things that you need to do to make sure that you're okay, right? And checking in with yourself. I think also part of my holistic view of wellness is like, I'm a plant mom, and taking care of plants really helps me in a number of ways, right? It helps me to realize, like, have I drank enough water today? Am I getting sun? Am I getting the vitamin D that I require? But also making sure that they're okay as well. And when I see that they're not okay, I know that I'm not in a good space. So then I start to analyze how that's going. And so I would say that's been my experience with wellness and just trying to be more holistic now. And you know, those experiences that I had where, you know, I was suffering in silence has really led me to, you know, support women of color today, who are having a number of things that chip away at their wellness, right? Whether it's sexism, racism, discrimination of all kinds, toxic academic environments. And so, that's what I do in my work, support graduate women, women graduate students, and affirm their experiences, because we don't have a lot of that in academics.
That's super helpful. And I love to hear about the evolution of wellness and how that changes for folks throughout their graduate school journey, because I think about how long we spend in these programs. And so like we ourselves are not only growing as scholars, but growing as individuals and learning to understand ourselves more. I think for me, after coursework was over, I think I got a little bit of a better handle on things because coursework just took me out. Like I was not myself whatsoever. I was only the things that I read. So I'm curious if you could then talk about what role entrepreneurship played in your life at this time, because it seems to me when you mentioned the travel blog, like that was an opportunity for you to engage with other people, but also as a way to kind of like monitor your own self, right? And to ensure that you were celebrating your own win. So like, have you always been an entrepreneur? Like, was a travel blog your first attempt at something like that? And how does your entrepreneurship journey kind of like parallel your grad school journey?
Love those questions. And I might need a reminder for some of them because I'm going to take you on a little trip, but it's going to be short. So I'll say my entrepreneurship journey starts with my parents, to really be honest. So my father was very entrepreneurial. In Haiti, he learned how to sew, and he was very instrumental in educating others in his area how to sew, right? And they would do it as a community and do it for sustaining themselves financially. And he brought that sense of entrepreneurship here when he did migrate to America and in New York, really. And so he continued with that. He continued to sew and create. He would make his own clothes. He would make clothes for other people, and found pride in that. And always had dreams of doing other things. Like there was one point where he wanted to start this restaurant and he was going to do it with a group of people. It didn't work out, but that was, you know, one of his things. And so he's just always been that. And I grew up with that. And entrepreneurship wasn't necessarily, you know, a surprise to me, to him either, when I talked about wanting to do that. And so even in high school, I took courses that were aligned with that, where I was part of Future Business Leaders of America, where we had to do different projects, business plans, all of those kinds of things. And then even in undergrad, I minored in entrepreneurship when nobody knew what entrepreneurship was, right? Folks would always ask, like, what is that? They couldn't even pronounce it. But now, you know, there's a big, you know, push with that, with folks doing their own things, people sharing stuff on TikTok, YouTube, all of those kinds of things. Side hustles is a huge thing. And I would say that that's been my way of navigating it. I've always had a side hustle. My first official business was in 2009 when I decided that I wanted to be a wedding and event planner. And so I had my own wedding and event planning company called Precious Occasions. I started that and did a number of weddings and events, and ended that right before I started my doctoral program. And really, it was because I was like, I don't think I can do this. I had demanding brides, bridezillas, all the things that you can imagine. And so, so that was how I've been influenced with business. I've always known that I've wanted to own my own business. I've been fascinated with business ownership. I watch Shark Tank all the time. I love talking to other people. And it's so interesting too that you say this as well, because this has also influenced me to like do business coaching as well with folks who are thinking about doing it, right? Like getting into that space and not really sure what they want to do, or they have started it, but they're thinking about how do I streamline the brand and things like that. And so that's been like another avenue for me. And then I forgot the second piece to your question.
No, it's okay. I was just wondering, and I asked a lot of questions at one time, but I was just curious to think about how like the interplay between your grad school journey and your entrepreneurship journey? Because I think with the travel blog is a good example of that, how you kind of like traveled during grad school, and that is something that you could write about on the travel blog. So do you see any other parallels between your entrepreneurship journey and your grad school journey, or overlap?
You know, I mean, the only glaring one I would say is the population that I serve right now. You know, I think during my grad school journey, as much as I was like, I had years of experience before I decided to go into my doc program. So it wasn't like I was just going straight through from undergrad or my master's program. But because of, even in spite of that, I still experienced isolation, self-doubt, imposter syndrome, which I don't necessarily believe in fully, because I'm not an imposter, right? I am who I am. You are treating me in a way that makes me feel, you know, like I don't belong and that sort of thing. And so because of that and the conversations I had with other folks, that really helped me to see like, there's a need here. Like, how can I help other women of color graduate students so that, you know, there are more of us, we're represented more, right? I see stats where it's something like 20% of folks who start graduate school quit. And then we have the other stat of 50% of folks who start their doctoral programs never finish, right? And so there's clearly a need here. And so that really tied into where I'm at today and where I see, you know, that parallel and that influence for Dr. Emanuela Consulting.
Awesome. And it seems, so I did a little bit of research on you, and it seems like you have even more of an expert knowledge, not only because of your own experiences, but because of what you studied for your dissertation. And I just want to share the title with everyone. It is titled, "We're Here, We Exist, An Exploration of How Second-Generation Afro-Caribbean College Women Make Meaning of Their Race, Ethnicity, and Gender." So that in itself, I feel like gives you an even more in-depth knowledge and an ability to serve the folks who come to you for your coaching. Mm-hmm. I think that's great, right? Like how we can use our research for good and not just for like other folks in the academy as a study. It's not just a study, right? It's something that you can apply to your real life.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I was thinking about this recently, like, you know, this whole concept of me search that folks, and I want to say it's probably non-Black folks, have an issue with, right? It's like, okay, it's me search in the fact that it's inspired by my experiences, and I see something here that I think needs deeper, you need to dig deeper into to understand and see how you can support. But like, it's real, like, you know, and I believe in it, and I believe that these types of research are needed so that we can get the support that we need for the group of folks that need it.
Most definitely. I hear that critique a lot in anthropology, right? Like, you're too close or you're too native. So you can't actually like be objective, even though no one is really objective when we're doing this work. So I guess to go into a little bit more detail about Dr. Emanuela Consulting, I'm curious, like, what type of offerings you would provide someone, a grad student per se, who was coming to you and looking for some coaching support?
Yeah, a lot. One thing I didn't share is like a lot of my experience, I spent like over 15 years in leading university career services and working directly with Fortune 100 recruiters who would come and try and figure out how they can recruit diverse talent. And so I work kind of in a consultative way with those recruiters to kind of help them figure out like, what are the opportunities that you have and then how you can connect with those folks, and not really approaching it like you do when you go to Ivy League schools, right? Because these students are very different. And so helping them through that, but then also coaching students, right? Whether it's resume writing, whether it's interview prep, All of those things are things that I do now in Dr. Emanuela Consulting. So it's really the whole holistic view, whether it's starting from you don't know what you want to do with this degree, or maybe you're thinking about going to grad school and not sure what programs you should really look at. We basically do an approach where we're looking at your values. What are the values that you have? Who are you? What are your interests? And how can we make sure that you're standing firmly in that and confident in what you bring and the values that you hold, so that you can be more confident in your grad journey, which I find a lot of folks, they're not as confident, right? You have so many things that are chipping away at you, whether it's comparison, right? Whether or not you're doing it yourself, it's happening in the classroom. It's happening outside of the classroom where you see folks getting certain awards or getting opportunities that you're not getting. So how do we help you to be more confident in that space? And then how do we help you be more strategic in terms of using your values to help you get the career that you want? And so that's really part of my process around that. And it really is tied to everything that I do, whether it's the Writing on My Mind podcast or the Taking Charge ebook that I shared. And that's out there because I know I can't work one-on-one with everyone, right? But for those who are able to do one-on-one services, I do offer coaching services and have been helpful for folks who are in their master's program as well as their doc program. I've also helped folks with refining their dissertation topics. You know, and you know this, I'm sure, Angela, like we have faculty members that are there, right? And from my point of view as a first gen college student, I expected the advisor to be more involved, right? And more caring about the process. And I did not get that. Now, why that was, you know, that's another conversation, right? Because I know other folks who do get that. But in my space with working with doctoral students, I've been able to get them the support that they're not getting from their advisors, the advice, the guidance. You know, a lot of times you get told, oh, you need to expand this more. Well, what do you mean? I feel like I'm using all of my words, right? And so I'm there to help tease some of that out for them, and reading between the lines that they may not necessarily be able to understand from, you know, faculty who are understandably like pulled in a number of directions. So that's kind of a little bit in terms of the coaching that I do.
I think that's really awesome. And I can identify as someone who kind of like struggled to get through the doctoral program and just trying to understand what was expected of me. And I didn't know anybody else who had a PhD. Like I didn't know what I was doing, and you can only Google so much, right? And I think it's so unfortunate that like a PhD in a lot of ways is a self-study, and it doesn't have to be that way. So I appreciate knowing that there are people like you, also like Dr. Yvette, who does femtoring, who are using their own experiences to provide a more like holistic type of coaching for students who really need it, but might not be able to articulate what it is that they're missing because we just don't know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. Okay, so with that said, that was really helpful. I'm going to move us to our lightning round, which is okay. Which is where you say the absolute first thing that comes to your mind. Don't have to think about it too much. So with that said, could you please provide us with three words to describe wellness in academia?
Necessary, doable, and I would say life-shifting, if you prioritize that.
Yes, beautiful. Okay. What are two invaluable resources that have helped you in your wellness journey?
I would say the work of, is it Tricia or Tracy Hersey of the NAP ministry?
Oh, yeah.
Her work has really shifted my way of how I think about rest. I'm still working through that and unraveling from capitalism. And so that's one that I would say has been invaluable. And then recently I've been reading this book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza. And that's really, really talking about how to be present and how you're present, or how we all have the power to create the future that we want. And like, I never understood the whole like quantum physics thing. Like, even when I watch like movies and things like that, I'm like, I don't get it. But I think now I understand like all of these things are possible. We just have to believe. And I think that is really something recently that I've been, you know, really processing to see how can I, you know, impact my wellness and not live in the past or the future, but living in present. Sorry, long answer.
No, that's really big. I've like read a little bit about like quantum jumping, and I'm thinking also about like just literally like controlling your own thinking. And the thought I've had that I've shared with my therapist is like, I've been told how to think for so long, right? That it's like a different concept for me to be like, yo, I can control the thoughts and like my mind. So yeah.
Wow. What you just said, like, that did something for me. You're like being taught how to think and not realizing the power that you have, right? Oh,
taught what to think, bar. How to think. Like, this, people have been telling me what I should be thinking about. But I'm like, no, I can control this lingering thought and I can make it go away. I can turn the channel.
Exactly. It's mind blowing. So hopefully folks can understand that too. I'm going to Google this quantum jumping because I don't think I've gotten that phase, but he talks a lot about it in the book, but like just how much power we all have and the stories that we tell ourselves from the past that create our future. So yeah, super important.
I want to go to a coaching session because these books are like, I'm excited to look into them, but okay. And then the last piece for the lightning round, I'm wondering if you could give one piece of advice to listeners who are in grad school and also considering entrepreneurship. What would you tell them?
Find community. I say that goes for grad school as well as entrepreneurship. You said something earlier that kind of ties to this too. Like you felt like you were like alone or like, I can't remember the exact wording, but like community, is the way and the fastest way to success, I would say. And that was really instrumental in my grad school, like my master's program, as well as my doc program, with entrepreneurship as well. Just if you can't find the community, create the community that you want. Pull in folks who are aligned with you or have like similar interests, or their businesses are in a similar phase, and create that community, share resources, build each other up, talk about that person or those persons in spaces that they're not a part of, recommend them. If you can't do something, recommend those folks, and you know, you will see the great things that come your way as a result of that.
I love that. And I was just actually talking to Kanisha from Black Women Professoria all about community. And so I think it's like super important. And I think that's exactly what we're doing here on this podcast. And I consider you a part of my community. So I want to say thank you for being here. If other people want to join the community, how can they be in touch with you and find the books and listen to the podcast and even join a coaching session or coaching?
Yeah. Oh, thank you for this opportunity. And I definitely consider you a part of my community as well. And I think what we're doing is trying to make this world a better place, right, for people who look like us. And that's amazing. For folks who want to connect with me, you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Emanuela, which is Emanuela. I'm also on LinkedIn at Dr. Emanuela as well. And I'll share the links if you want to add it to the show notes. And then folks can get the ebook at takingchargeebook.com, as well as going to my website, Dr. Emanuela Consulting.com. And that's Dr. as in Dr. Emanuela. Consulting.com. And there they can find a link to the ebook as well. They can find links to meet with me one-on-one. I also speak. And so if folks want me to be a speaker at their institution on why I don't believe in imposter syndrome or building community, I did a keynote at UConn about that and other topics. You can definitely find that there.
Awesome.
And the podcast too, I forgot.
Oh, of course. I just love hearing the ways that people have been able to like capitalize on their own expertise, right? So this is great. And thank you for being an example of that. I will make sure people have your information. I'll put that in the show notes. Again, Dr. Emanuela, thank you for being here. And thank you for being a part of my community.
Thank you for having me.
That's all I have for you on this episode. I hope that you heard something that inspires you along your wellness journey. And if so, share it with a friend. Until next time, take care.